Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 10. If I can find my spot, the Bible says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leaveth the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil, and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Let's pray. Lord, ask you to help me, please. I pray you'd help me with my throat. I just pray you'd help in that area, Lord, and help me have a clear train of thought. I just say what you'd have me to say, Lord. I feel like I'm stumbling over myself here a bit. And just pray you'd help me to clear my thoughts and be able to focus. And God, just bless the preaching of your word, please. That's what will make a difference in our lives, Lord. Not necessarily me, but your word. And I pray that you'd be glorified. And we'd seek to just walk with you, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Being delivered from the way of evil. We started off with this idea that we have to allow wisdom to enter. Man, that's the key to it. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. That's what we need. We allow wisdom to enter our heart. It's always a hard issue. And then we're looking at the characteristics of the evil man. What are some attributes, characteristics of this evil person? And we saw that the evil man has a way of doing things. It says right there in verse 12, "To deliver thee from the way of the evil man." He also speaks froward or perverse things. So to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. So what he speaks is perverse. It's not right. It's not proper. It's not, we could say it's not biblical, but it goes beyond that. It's going to corrupt what God has said and God's order of things. And we can see that's very prevalent today in our society. I think it was in 2006 that Al Gore said it would be the end of the world in 2016. And because of the polar ice caps melting, and lo and behold, here we are, and the polar ice caps haven't melted. It just, you know, there's vicious attacks against the Word of God, and yet the Word of God still stands. But these perverse men, this evil man, is going to speak perverse things. And we see also rebellion is the vehicle in which they use it. He speaks forward things. He leaves the paths of uprightness. It's a characteristic of the evil person is they're rebellious. They'll be rebellious to parents. Let me say, if your teenagers are rebellious, it's not a phase. They're rebellious. They're disobedient. That's it. If your toddler, terrible twos, I get it. They're going to push their limits. They will. But it's just disobedience. It's rebellion. And that's the teenager that doesn't obey started way back over here as the toddler that didn't obey. That's how it works. It's just rebellion. The sooner we understand that, the faster we can help them. The Bible says the rod of reproof will drive that far from them. There's a biblical way to spank your children. Spanking has gotten a bad rap because people have done it wrong and they've abused their children. I mean, they just lash out at them in anger and just jump all over them and just start smacking them, just whap, 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 whap. That's not biblical, that's not godly, and that's not what the Bible teaches. Okay, if we do it right, we do it controlled. I mean, I'm telling you, I've had to send my kids, I said, go to wait in my room. And they're there for 30 minutes by themselves so I can cool down before I go deal with them. And then when I do deal with them, I'm telling them, why are we in here? And I want them to answer, why are you about to get paddled? I want them to understand why. Them to know that they did wrong. And that they sinned. Always bring it up. You sinned, what you did was sin. They can understand from a very young age. And even if not, you need to teach them. Now, children very young, I'm telling you, with all of mine and other children I've witnessed, they know right away what no means. When you say no and they look at you like this, and they do it anyway, they know. They know what no means. And I'm telling you, that happens before they're one. With most children, that happens before they're one, as you watch them. So they know. And you can start teaching them at that point. You know, when they go for something like that, that's when I'll go, no. You know, you give them a little sting. So they know, no. You tell them, no. Right, so they get the point, that's bad. And then as they get a little older, you tell them if they've done something wrong, you say, no, no, no. You lied to mommy, you lied to daddy, that's a sin. You sinned against God. You're teaching them. Teaching them that sin has a consequence. That way, as they get older, see, it'll transition. They'll realize, oh, God has a consequence for sin. You're teaching them. But that rebellion, whether it be a teenager, whether it be a toddler, that's all it is. It's rebellion. You could say the terrible twos. You could say they're, well, they're just teenagers. They're going through a phase. Yeah, that phase is called rebellion. Don't let them. Don't let them. Rebellion is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of reproof will drive it far from him. That is what is in us. That is in each and every one of us, rebellion. And the rod of reproof will drive it far from us, so that we're not dealing with a child that grows up to be an evil man. The strange woman. I mean, how many times have you seen some mass murderer, serial killer, and they interview the parents, and he's not a bad kid, he's a good boy. Did we miss something? Did we miss something here? See, and what people don't understand is they don't have a biblical view of humanity, of the depravity of man and how wicked we are. People want, they followed a humanistic line of thinking, which says, oh, we're all basically good. Wrong, we're not basically good, we're all basically bad. The first two children born to Adam and Eve after sin, one of them killed the other one. That's our nature. That's what we are. That's what you are. That's what's in you. That's what's in me. We're bad. We're not good. And people don't understand that. They don't want to think, oh, well, my child wouldn't do that. Man, my child is capable of any wicked sin. Any one of my kids in here, myself, all my kids are capable of anything. If teachers come to us and they tell us, oh, you know, Isaiah did this. My first instinct is not, how dare that teacher? And there's parents like that, man, I'm telling you. Like, don't you dare correct my child. There's parents out there like that. My first instinct is, yeah, they could have done it, but I'm going to talk to my child. I'm not just going to, they're not instantly guilty, but I am going to talk to them, and I think, well, they definitely could have done that. Oh, they sure could have. They sure could have. And we're going to deal with it. And we will. And I don't make excuses. Typically, I mean, praise God, the kids go to a good school. They got teachers that love them, that pray for them. And, I mean, usually if the teacher's bringing something to us, it's because they care. And usually because our kid's guilty. I don't think there's been a time our kid hasn't been guilty of whatever they said. So, my point being is that rebellion is what's in our nature. And that's the attitude of the evil way, is an attitude of rebellion. That's all it is. Whether it's at work, in our workplace, and we don't want to listen to our boss because we don't like them and they're not a good boss. So what? Are you getting paid to do that job? Then do it. Otherwise, you're following the way of the evil man. See, not me. Yeah, you. Yeah, you. Well, no one else does it, though. So what? So what? They'll take advantage of me. Yeah, they might. They usually do. The people that do more, they usually take advantage of you. You know why? Because maybe they don't have the backbone to deal with those sorry employees, and they know that you're a good employee and you'll do what they ask, so they're going to go to you and ask you to do all this stuff that they don't ask anybody else. I've been there, done it. But you know what? I'm getting paid. Don't worry about another man's servant. Comparing ourselves with ourselves, we become unwise. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. I know it's hard to do. I know it's not always easy. You can get mad. I've gotten mad about it. But you know what? I'm getting paid to do a job. Just do it. See, we don't like to think of the things we do as rebellious towards God. Not me, it's other people who are wicked, not me. I'm not an evil person. Yeah, we are. We need to look at ourselves first and some of the actions that we portray and the way we do things. Are we following the way of an evil man? In verse 13, the Bible says that, speaking of this evil man, the way of evil, it says, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So they leave the paths of uprightness to do what? To walk in the ways of darkness. The evil man, the evil person, will set out looking for the ways of darkness. They look to do wrong. These are characteristics we don't want to follow after. If this is your heart, if your heart is to say this, that I want to walk in the ways of darkness, it's a pretty good idea that you may not be a child of God. If your attitude is, I want to do the things of evil and the things of darkness, I'd examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. See if you're saved, if that's what you want to do. If you can do and look at the things that this wicked world does and go to the places that this wicked world goes to and it not grieve you in your spirit, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I'm not saying you won't do something wrong and maybe go there or say something or be somewhere you shouldn't or look at something that you shouldn't. But if your attitude about it is like, this is just fine, there's nothing wrong with it, something is seriously wrong with you. Spiritually. Something's wrong. And I say you need to examine yourself, see if you be in the faith. Ephesians 5:8 says, for ye were sometimes darkness. Let's say the evil man. What does he do? He leaves the paths of uprightness. Why? So that he can walk in the ways of darkness. But the Bible says about a Christian, ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk in the light. Every bar I'd ever been to, it's always dark. Everyone. Every club I'd ever gone to, it's always dark. Everyone. How come all the bad things happen at night in the dark? Because you can't be seen. Oh, I'm hiding my sin from God. I'm hiding my sin. No one's going to see. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. That's not what we are. So why are we associating with that? Why are we going to be around that? When that's the way of the evil man, the way of evil. The evil rejoices in what is wrong. And that's why they leave the light. Verse 14 says, who rejoice to do evil. They rejoice in it. They enjoy it. They desire to walk in darkness. They rejoice in evil. That's why they leave the light. John 3, 19 and 20. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. See, the Christian that's in sin knows it's wrong and is grieved over it within themselves. And they're going to go to the Word of God and say, God, please forgive me, I'm sorry. But the lost person says, I don't care what the Word of God says. I like this. I love darkness. I don't want light. Why do you think you go out there and you share the gospel with people, you start talking to people about the Word of God, and they say, hey, keep that inside the church. Keep that in the four walls of the church. Don't bring that out here. Why? Because they love darkness rather than light. But the light reproves their wicked deeds. Their deeds are evil. They hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Because that's what the Word of God does. It's a light unto my path. And it reveals sin and evil. And when you're in that, no one likes to be revealed or found out for what they are, what they're doing. Don't tell me that what I'm doing is wrong. I've witnessed to a bunch of people. I've shared the gospel to a bunch of people. Bunch of gay people. Now you can just tell when you talk to them. Not all of them, I know that. But many of them you can when you talk to them. And I've never brought it up. I've never brought up the fact that they're gay. But they do. Why? Were gay people welcomed in your church? I said, well, I'm going to preach the Bible. They've never showed up. Why? Because they hateth the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's why they're happy where they're at. A joy is in their heart to do the perverse things of the wicked. A so-called gay pride parade. You ever done any research into the wickedness that goes on during one of those things? Just the vile, disgusting filth that happens in our public streets. The indecent exposure and every wicked thing that goes on that the city just ignores. Even though there's laws against it, what happens in those? Filth. But there's joy in their heart to do those things. About the filthy Miley Cyrus burning a Bible on stage. And all the other filthy things she does. Burning the Bible on stage. Blaspheming the name of God. But oh, I listen to her music on the radio. There's nothing wrong with that. You want to walk in the way of the evil? Okay. Let's bring it home. How about telling lies about a coworker to get them fired or something, or to get yourself promoted? Is there joy in your heart to do perverse things? It's like the prideful fool who leaves the well-beaten path in the woods to forge their own way, and they get lost and now are in danger. That's what happens. What does it say? They leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. I mean, think about it. Let's say you're out in the forest. You kind of get mixed up and maybe you didn't plan things out right. And you're on a path, but it's getting to dusk and the sun's going down. Now it's getting darker and darker and you can't really see as far as you used to. And you know there's a path. But you decide as the sun's going down, you say, you know what? I think I was this way. I'm going to leave the path and go this way. How many of us in here think that's a good idea? Anybody? See, that's foolish. Who would do that? Who in their right mind would do that? Who would do that unless you're like Davy Crockett or something, right? I mean, who's going to do that? Who's going to leave that path? That it may take them longer, but eventually they're going to get there if they stay on that path. Who would leave that path in the dark? That's crazy. Especially if they don't know where they're at. That's insane. No one in their right mind would do that. But people do it all the time as they seek to leave the paths of righteousness to follow the evil way. Are you doing that now? The path may be just right here. And it's going like this. And all you do is you just got to do this just a little bit. See, I'm not that bad. I'm still real close to that path. I'm still real close. But you keep going long enough, and you start at the same point. But if you kick off a little bit, the farther you get away from that starting point, the farther away you end up getting. And that's how it works. It just keeps going farther and farther and farther and farther and farther as you go. And before you know it, nothing. That's why we need to stay on the old path. What path is that? That's the path that the Word of God has laid out for us, following biblical principles. The prideful, though, says, I'm going to forge my own path. I'm going to do it my way. Hey, just do it. If it feels good, do it. We should look for the old path and reprove the works of darkness. Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. None. Zero fellowship. That means let me not bring it in. Let me not bring it into my home through television, through the videos that I watch, through the music that I listen to. I'm going to have no fellowship with it. None. That's going to eliminate a lot of the things we allow in if we follow that. But rather, let me reprove them. This is just a constant in our life. If we seek to follow God, we're constantly going to have to be evaluating. There may be something, you let it in, then you realize you're like, I shouldn't have done that. We're going to have to get that out. That's the right thing to do. That doesn't make you a hypocrite. What makes you a hypocrite is you bringing it in, you're saying, oh, I shouldn't have done that, but we already did it. I'm going to keep it. No, getting right with God is saying, I shouldn't have done that. Let me get that out. That's not healthy. That's not right. That's following the ways of darkness. Say, oh man, it can be so easy to gossip at work, can't it? Anybody else there with me? No, I'm the only one that had ever done that. Okay, maybe I'm the only one that ever did that. But it was easy for me. It's easy to gossip about people. And maybe you've done it at work, and maybe you are the biggest gossip at work, and everybody knows it or whatever. Maybe in your family. And all you do is gossip, 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 but you realize, oh, that's wrong. The right thing to do is say, I've got to stop that. God help me. I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to follow the ways of darkness. What's sin? I don't want to be a backbiter. That's what the Bible calls it. It doesn't use the word gossip. It uses a much stronger language. We should probably get back to using that. Probably less people would do it. You backbiting? What does that mean? Oh, they don't know, but I'm gnawing on their back. Think about that. Gnawing on somebody's back. Backbiting. When they're not looking, you're biting on all over their back. You're all over them. Jeremiah 6:16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And Jeremiah preached to the children of Israel. He was preaching to them before they got taken into captivity. And once that captivity came, once Babylon came and took them off, he was there preaching to them during that time. He said, hey, God said through Jeremiah, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. You might say, I don't know where I'm supposed to stand. God says, ask. 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 That's part of let us rise up and build. Build the foundation. God, show me what I need to do. God, show me where you want me. He said, ask. Where's the good way? He says, and walk therein. Ye have not because ye ask not. Ask for the old paths. We need to keep contending for the faith and don't get discouraged by a Christ-rejecting world. It's easy to do. You can get discouraged because you see the wickedness that abounds all over our society. You could get discouraged. But we're to keep contending for the faith. In Jude, verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That word contend means to fight, to battle for it. Earnestly battle for the faith once delivered unto the saints. God said, earnestly contend for the faith. Just keep at it. Keep at it. It's the way of the evil man. But we're also warned in this passage to steer clear of the ways of the strange woman. It says in verse 16, again, going back to when wisdom enter thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. That's verses 10 and 11. Okay, so those things, wisdom, discretion, understanding, knowledge, those things, verse 16, will deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. So steering clear of the way of the strange woman. And the biblical illustrator said this about that verse. Gaze not on beauty too much, lest it blast thee, nor too long, lest it blind thee, nor too near, lest it burn thee. If thou like it, it deceives thee. If thou love it, it disturbs thee. If thou hunt after it, it destroys thee. If virtue accompany it, it is the heart's paradise. If vice associate it, it is the fool's purgatory. It is the wise man's bonfire and the fool's furnace. There's nothing wrong with beauty. God made beauty. Depends all about how you go about it. Gaze not on beauty too much, lest it blast thee. The wise man's bonfire, the fool's furnace. So who's this strange woman the Bible talks about? It says to deliver thee from the strange woman. Well, a stranger in the Bible was oftentimes somebody that wasn't a Jew. An outsider, someone that's not saved, it could also refer to. A stranger, they're not saved. They don't know of the promises of God to His people. In the Jews' case, it would be one of the pagan women from the nations surrounding them, a stranger. A strange woman, but it could also be a loose woman, if I could say it like that. is how else it would be. An adulterous woman, or we could say somebody that's not saved. To the Jews, it'd be a pagan woman. So what does this strange woman do? She flatters with her tongue. She uses a tongue of flattery. Francis Taylor said this, "The danger from evil women is great. As good women are modest, so bad women are loud and bold. As good women are tenderly affected, so wicked ones are most cruel. Take heed of being overcome by smooth language. They will tell thee that they love none else and will die for thee, but they love thy wealth and beauty and will leave thee when these fail." We've all known women like that. Probably all of us have known of them. Just watch out for her. That's one thing. I just listen to my wife when she says that, when she's like, "I don't know about that girl." I say, "Okay, I'm watching out then." You know, a woman's words are very powerful. She flatters with her tongue. I think Samson is an example, not a good example in what he did, but he's a good illustration of maybe what not to do, how he fell for the strange woman who flattered with her tongue. In Judges 16, verses 5 and 6, it said, The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, "Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth." And Delilah said to Samson, her words, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth." See, she's flattering him. "And wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." And then Judges 16, a few verses later, verses 16 and 17. "And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart." It led about to death. You know, verse 18 says, "For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead." What ended up happening to Samson? He was blinded, wasn't he? He lost his eyesight. He got too close, and he got burned. It was a furnace to him. It's with those very soothing and deceitful words that a woman can destroy you, as is illustrated in Samson's life. We must be careful of that. "This strange woman will forsake and forget her upbringing." Verse 17 it says, "She forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God." She forsakes it. What does that mean? She turns her back on the guide of her youth, what was guiding her and directing her. She forsakes it. "This woman is completely devoid of any truth. She forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God." Most children don't grow up without any moral guidance. Most children are taught something. The problem with a woman like this is she has made the decision to leave wisdom. She made that choice. This is the evil way. Are we choosing to leave wisdom? It's the same pattern that the evil man followed after. The worldly lost woman is easy to spot and steer clear of, for the most part. A worldly lost woman is easy to spot and steer clear of. Although that can also be a danger too if the young man's heart isn't right. You can see that in Proverbs chapter 7, the young man void of understanding, he's walking somewhere he shouldn't be, and of course he's in the dark night. You can read chapter 7 there, and gets himself in trouble. But this girl, it says that she's forgotten the covenant of her God. She forgetteth the covenant of her God. Wait a minute, sounds like she was raised in a Christian home, maybe. We could put it like that today. She was a Jew. The covenant of her God. She forgot it. She professed that Jehovah was hers, but she leaves him. That's much more dangerous for someone like us. Well, she wouldn't. A Christian lady wouldn't seek to destroy my marriage, would she? Well, if she's forgetteth the covenant of her God, she's not saved to begin with, she sure will. Why wouldn't she? It's happened before. I've seen it happen before. Destroy marriages. A woman professing Christ destroyed marriages. Following her path leads to death. Verse 18, we saw that. Her house inclineth unto death, her paths unto the dead. Everything about her will lead to death. None that follow this path to its end return. None that go unto her return again. Neither take they hold of the paths of life. If you're going to follow this path, it is going to destroy you. It will ruin you. Think about this. Let me put it like this to you, okay? Say you want to go and hang around with a strange woman, with this type of woman. You want to be a part of her. Oh, and you get things right and you realize, I shouldn't be doing this. And you spent this time with her, but oh my, how it's too late. Because you've already contracted some disease that's going to kill you. Death. Death, you're going to the grave. See, her house inclineth unto death. The only remedy is the grace and mercy of our Savior. But even those that do get saved, they have destroyed their health and can never recover it. God's mercy is great. It's amazing, His grace. He will save anybody. Anybody that will turn to Him. Anybody. It doesn't matter how bad they are, how evil you think they are. God can save anyone. But He doesn't just magically take the consequences away for their actions. A lifetime of sin is going to have consequences. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You ever met somebody that they're like 45 years old and you think they're 65? You ever met someone like that? You say, man, they've lived a hard life. And you start talking to them, every time, line it up every time, drugs and alcohol, every time, every time. There's consequences to those things. But these warnings are given to keep us on the paths of righteousness. Verse 22 says, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. That's why He's giving us all this. That's why God has laid all this down as a protection to us, to help us. Because He loves us and He says, I don't want this for you. Just like we tell our child, no, don't play with the socket over there. Why? Because we love them. I don't want you to die. We don't let our children run out in the street. Anybody here want to let their toddler run out on Coors right here? Say, no, that's crazy. That's right. Man, you'd probably get pretty mad at your child if they took off to try and run out there. You'd run after them and you'd, get over here, what are you doing? You don't do that again. And you're lucky there's people watching me right now. You know, it'd be one of those things, right? Why? Because you love them. They scared you. How could you do that? Don't you know what would have happened to you? Those cars can't stop in time. So we warn them because we love them. And that's what God's doing right here. He says, don't you know the danger you're in following that woman? Don't you know? How could you do that? Why? Because He loves us. He loves us. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. Righteousness isn't a bad thing, it's a good thing. Righteousness will only help you. It will only protect you. It's not going to hurt you. You're not going to get to heaven and God's going to say, son, what were you thinking? Living that holy life. What's wrong with you? Why'd you do all that? You think He's going to do that? You get there? No, He might say, why'd you follow that woman? You know what my word said. I told you. Why didn't you listen? I don't know if He'll do that. I'm just giving an example here to get us to think about our decisions, the actions we take. It's God's love that warns us. Separation is love, not legalism. It is a spiritual and a physical protection from death. These warnings are a physical and a spiritual protection from death. But you have to decide, Christian, do you love darkness rather than light? See, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Do you love darkness rather than light? Are your deeds evil? Are you trying to hide something? Who do you more resemble, the strange woman, the evil man, or the humble servant of God? Is your heart bent on evil and perverseness, or do you rejoice in godliness? Do you roll your eyes at right living and standards of holiness? Or do you say, Lord, forgive me. God, I'm sorry I've done that. God, help me. And you rejoice when you get to come and sing hymns. Lift your voice in praise to God. You say, oh, how good it is, God. Thank you. Thank you for this refuge that I get to be in. Oh, God, you're so good to me. Thank you for your mercy. Lord, thank you for not giving me what I deserve. God, you're so good to me, Lord. Thank you. Teach me. Teach me to avoid the way of the evil man, the way of the strange woman. God, I don't want to resemble that at all. God, give me the old paths. Show me where they're at, Lord. That's what our attitude needs to be.